Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for February 11th, 2011.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
There's some benefit to be a firstborn when it comes to academic performance, and some benefit to being a lastborn for academic attainment.
Musically experienced listeners had greater activity compared to the inexperienced listeners in areas that are related to emotion processing and also in reward-related areas.
This week, how the brain picks which memories to keep while you're sleeping, and there's a new neural explanation for what causes ringing in the ears. Also, are left-handed people smarter? But first, whether it's Ludwig van Beethoven or Lady Gaga, everybody's got their favorite music. What makes music so pleasurable to listen to? Suzanne Bard reports on music's effect on the brain.
Music can move people to tears, but how it manipulates our emotions has puzzled scientists for years. Two new studies are shedding light on the question. In the first, neuroscientist Heather Chapin, now at Stanford, and her colleagues played two versions of a Chopin piano etude to volunteers and measured their emotional response. The first version was an expressive interpretation of the piece, and the other one followed the written music to a T.
The greater the tempo fluctuations in the expressive performance, the higher the arousal or the intensity of the emotional experience.
In addition, experienced listeners with musical training had more activity in certain parts of the brain than less experienced listeners.
We found that musically experienced listeners had greater activity compared to the inexperienced listeners in areas that are related to emotion processing and also in reward-related areas. So it seemed that they got kind of a greater emotional reward.
A second study lends credence to the idea that a piece of music can literally give listeners an emotional high. Scientists at the Montreal Neurological Institute at McGill University scanned the brains of volunteers as they listened to their favorite instrumental works, whether classical, jazz, folk, or rock. During particularly moving passages, the volunteers' brains released the neurochemical dopamine in the area of the brain involved in drug addiction, according to graduate student Valerie Salimpour, the study's lead author.
It sort of provides a biological reason why music has been around for this long, because if it's working on the system, then it's releasing one of the most potent reinforcement and motivation chemicals in your brain.
The study appears in the journal Nature Neuroscience.
Thanks, Suzanne. Tinnitus, or ringing in the ears, is triggered by hearing loss and the brain's attempt to fill the missing frequencies with sound of its own. In most cases, the brain's limbic system keeps us from actually hearing this noise. But Georgetown University Medical Center neuroscientist Joseph Rauschecker and his colleagues scanned the brains of chronic tinnitus patients using functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI, and they found that their limbic systems were focusing on the sounds rather than filtering them out. He also found a connection between tinnitus and mood.
The limbic system is considered the neural substrate of emotions and mood. If we are in a negative mood, then we have more tinnitus than if we don't.
In addition to tinnitus, the research may lead to new insights into chronic pain, which may also be caused by the limbic system's inability to filter out unneeded signals. Next, reporter Karina Wu answers a listener's question.
Listener Christine Nichols of Goose Creek, South Carolina, heard firstborn children do better in school than laterborn children and wanted to know if that was true. We consulted Brian Powell, a sociologist at Indiana University, who has looked at these claims. He says the connection between birth order and education is a question that fascinates a lot of people, including researchers.
Many people think there are huge birth order effects, but the actual evidence in terms of education is really, really slim.
Powell says there's a difference between academic performance, how well you do in school, and academic attainment, which is how far you get in your education.
The evidence at this point indicates that there's some benefit to be a firstborn when it comes to academic performance, and some benefit to being a lastborn for academic attainment.
That's because families tend to be better off once their oldest kids have moved out, leaving more money to send their last child off to college. If you've got a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT.
Thanks, Karina. And we have another listener's question in the mailbag today, this one from David Chang of Fairlawn, New Jersey, who wants to know if left-handers are smarter than right-handers. We asked cognitive scientist Stanley Coren, professor emeritus at the University of British Columbia and author of The Left-Hander Syndrome. He says left-handedness often occurs due to stress during birth, which affects pathways in the brain. As a result, some learning disabilities are more prevalent in left-handed people. But Coren says they also tend to excel in jobs requiring spatial visualization.
Like artists and architects and chess masters and that sort of thing, we tend to find a higher number of left-handers.
He says it all depends on which parts of the brain get affected during that crucial moment of development. Finally, Suzanne has some news from the Department of Sleep Research.
Sleep transfers our memories to long-term storage. Now, German researchers have shown that the brain chooses which memories to store. University of Lübeck neuroendocrinologist Jan Born and his colleagues taught volunteers either a list of paired words or a finger-tapping exercise. Afterwards, half were told that there would be a test in 2 days, but actually, all of them were tested.
Only when they were informed about the later recall, there was a robust and very substantial benefit for these memories during sleep.
In contrast, the group that hadn't expected a test improved only a little. Born suspects that the brain tags important experiences throughout the day and preferentially stores the tagged memories while we sleep.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll be coming to you from the 2011 AAAS Annual Meeting right here in Washington, D.C. with the latest science news. But if you can't wait that long, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.